They said it never happened. They said it couldn't be done. They said it was a fantasy at best. At best. But I tell you what, this is Ego and Vice. This is episode 25.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Yo, hey, guess what? It's episode 25. This is Ego and Vice. I finally made it to a quarter century, sort of. It's been a long haul, but worked out, sort of. And here we are.
Many guests, many beers, many good times.
Many good times. My name is Mike, as always, and my right-hand man, Pauly J. Fox, is back in the house in Southwood Studio. What's going on, Pauly?
That's me. I'm spilling beer and loving life.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, 25 episodes. That's crazy, man. When I started this podcast, I didn't think I'd make it past three, but
yeah, I didn't think you'd make it past three.
It was more of like this this quest. I was just going to be like, hey, let's see what I can do with this thing. And who knew? Who knew I'd get here? Last episode was 24, and I pushed on that episode saying that 25 is going to be something super exciting, and I'll probably let you down. But for me, I'm really happy. The only person I could think about to have in for episode 25 is the most recurring guest, almost my co-host on Ego and Vice, is Pauly. So thanks for coming out, at least.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me. Always love coming out here. I've been able to grace this. What, it's been the three times now so
three
far,
or four and, times. I think.
Haven't gotten bored of it yet. So
that's cool.
You know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, on Ego and Vice, I try and have as many guests on it as I can. But I told Pauly, or me and Pauly came to this decision a long time ago, was I need you on the show more than you want, probably want to be on the show.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And you've been gracious enough to come out. So hey, man, what the fuck is going on? What's new? How is the life, the daily life of Pauly J. Fox?
Oh, the daily life. Wow. Well, there's a lot more masturbation than I probably should admit to. And
oh, Jesus.
Well, hey, you know, that's the kind of answer you get when you ask me that question. But yeah, no, I mean, other than that, it's been work. It's boring as fuck. That's why I like coming here. You say, you know, I'm not, you know, hopefully I'm not overstaying my welcome by coming on here so often, but man, I got nothing better to do. You know, the last time I said that, actually, I shouldn't say that. The last time I said that, Kayla got very, very upset with me. She says, you really, yeah, that's what you'd be doing, is just sitting here with boring old me.
Oh, yeah, right. You did say that.
Yeah.
It's, hey,
and now I just said this, so
hey,
you know, I don't know how
it's show business.
That,
it's show business.
Exactly.
This is the way it goes. You know, you just try to make some content. You say things that you don't mean.
Exactly.
We're just playing characters.
That's what it is. That's totally, yeah.
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 But yeah, no, that's cool, man. No, I think over the course of the podcast, however long it goes, like I said before, you're gonna be back as much as you can. Since you live like 1,000 miles away, it's like a privilege to have you here. So
it's always fun times coming out. How about you? What's new? What's new with you? How are things?
Well, there's a few new things coming down the pike. Is that the word? Pike?
Pipe.
People say it's pipe, but it's pike. Pike. It's actually pike.
Okay. I don't know anything about anything, so I'll trust you on that.
As a teacher, you're a teacher. Shouldn't you know some things?
No, I read off the I read off the PowerPoint.
Oh, right. Yeah. If there's not a tele... Fuck you, San Diego!
That's right.
Yeah. No, fucking things are going well, man. Goat, who... Well, I guess, yeah, we're on a bit of... Still of a bit of a... I won't say hiatus, because that's a strong word. We're on a bit of a medical leave.
We're taking it easy because of lower body injuries.
And that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will not discuss or fill you in on... No, but I've talked about it. Yeah, Mike's back is fucked. He's on the mend, though. He's doing better. But I guess our plans in the future as far as GOAT goes is that I have a bunch of songs, and we're getting back together Wednesday.
Yeah.
It'll be our first practice in a while. We played a show about a month ago. We gave some time for Mike to heal himself because he was fucked up. He blew his back out because he's old as fuck.
I'm surprised he made it through that show.
Well, yeah, because he was like halfway through the show. He like lost feeling in his fingers and stuff.
I know. I was looking over at him after every song, just concerned as fuck. I'm happy he made it through, but I was worried.
Well, the older Goat gets, because Goat's been together for 7 years now. Mike, who's the oldest of the bunch, blew his back out. He's having some problems. Myself, as I've talked on this podcast before, I have internal issues where I shouldn't be drinking. However, I still have a few beers, so I'm dying internally. And you have your own medical drama.
Oh yeah, that's right. With the diabetes.
The diabetes.
Yeah, that neuropathy's kicking in. You know, can barely feel some of my fingers, getting harder to play. Yeah, I'm falling apart.
And as a bass player, you probably need your fingers to do some things.
Yeah, but see, that's less and less important the worse and worse of a bass player you are. So I'm kind of pushing it where I'm just not that great that I can get by on just a few fingers and make it sound okay.
Right. Well, it is Goat. You probably could use one finger and like a series of four notes, and we could fake it till we make it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so Goat's going down in flames real hard. Check back with us in about 3 years, and we're all going to be in like intensive care.
That's okay. I'd rather burn out anyway.
Yeah, then fade away.
Exactly.
Other than that, yeah, talked about this last time on the podcast is me and the Copper Altar, me and my friend Steph, have a gig coming up on April 21st at Live on Elgin with Ty Hall and Chris Landry. It's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome show. Can't really wait. But I also have a new thing which I can actually announce now.
Oh, that's right.
I am officially, after last night's... Okay, let me stretch this back a little bit.
Set the stage.
Okay. I was at work one day, and I received a call from Mr. Andy Vandal, who is the lead singer of the institution that is punk rock in Ottawa, called the Riptides. If you are a local of Ottawa music or the music scene, whether it be punk rock or rock and roll or whatever, somewhere along the lines over the last 20 years, the word the Riptides is passed, you know, your fucking desk. A file's come in, went in the inbox and went in the outbox, or maybe it's still in the inbox. You never know. So Andy gave me a shout just on a random Saturday afternoon. I've known those guys for a long time. I went and saw them when I was, I don't know, goddamn, must have been 2000, early 2000s, the first time I saw them. And Goat has played with them for the last couple shows, actually. We played the Christmas Big Rig beer release with them, the Yellow Snow thing.
Yeah.
And then we just played with them at Targ probably about a month or so ago.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, but anyway, Andy called me up and he says, yeah, we're looking for a rhythm guitar player. How would you like to come out and try out? More or less, paraphrasing the whole thing. And I was just like, holy shit. Okay. Yeah, that'd be cool. I tried to like downplay it. I'm like, yes, you know, I got lots on the go. But I was just like, yes. So he's like, cool, man. I'm going to send you some songs. So he sent us he sent me the set that they did, like the prior show or the one they're just kind of concentrating on, because they have a new record out called Canadian Graffiti that they released maybe a couple of months back. Predominantly, the set is based off their new release, as you would. You tour your new record or whatnot. But there's a lot of the older stuff. So he sent me a list of 20 songs, and he's like, here's our set list. And me being who I am, I'm sure he meant to say, here, like, listen to it. If you can get through it, learn a couple of songs, come out, and we'll kind of fucking play around with it. But me being who I am...
Not you.
Yeah, me being who I am, I immediately took that as a challenge of, like, I am going to learn every goddamn song on this record from start to finish, note for note, plus backing vocals, plus drum hits and whatnot. So that's what I did.
I think at our goat practices, I've heard probably a good 4 or 5 of them.
Oh, yeah?
Just from you.
Just fucking around?
Yeah, just from you fucking around with them.
Yes. So I went into the band practice. Because, Paulie, you and I have been in Goat for 7 years.
Yeah.
And we've had people come into the band where it's like, you don't want... I didn't want to be, and I'm not saying this person was, but when you introduce somebody new into a band, it's like, okay, here you are. Because the core people of the band know the songs. We can go in there, we can play anything on the set list fairly well,
yeah,
for what we remember. And you have someone come in, but immediately it's like that learning curve where it's just like, so what do you want to play? And you slow the band practice down to the point where it's just like, let's just play a song. Did you get that? Put your finger here, put your hand here, do this and that. And then it kind of slowly disrupts the flow of like the progression of your everyday life.
Especially when you're adding somebody new to an existing mix, you know, you have an extra layer that wasn't there before that you can play with too, especially going from 3 to 4, you know, or 4 to 5, whatever extra person you're adding, you add a whole nother layer that you can play with, and it just makes the complexity of everything that much more thick.
Yep.
Which is great. And that's why I totally get where you're coming from with that you're changing the whole dynamic of everything. It's not just, it's more than just adding a person. It's more than just adding a personality to the room. It's adding a layer.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. And I agree with you 1,000%. The fact that we've been in bands in our lives and we've had new people come in and stuff like that, and you have that flow. And what I wanted to do with the Riptides, because they've been together for 20 years, 20 goddamn years, I wanted to learn as much as I could before I went into the band practice, just so I could go into the band practice and not be that guy to be like, where they're looking and every once in a while they're looking over their shoulder because I'm fucking up and like, oh, here, like, put your finger here. And then I already said that, but... I basically went in last night and I was just like, hey, man, I put a lot of work into this. Just play your set like you normally would and I'll just contribute. I might flub a few times here and there, but just do what you normally did. And they totally did that. And I respected that. You know, they just played their set and I sat there and played. And I had a couple of weird moments and stuff like that. But all in all, for the work you put some work into your shit, people. Well, yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, you gotta.
And it went really well, and we're getting, you know, we get along well because we're all the same age. We're all old as fuck, and all our heydays are behind us. But we all know that. But there's still so much fucking amazing stuff ahead of us. But it's experience. This is what we have. Anyway, so it went well, and at the end of the night, Andy sent me a message and said, "Welcome to our shitty band." So that to me gave me the green light that I guess I'm officially in the Riptides, which is a dream come true because I've been a fan of the Riptides for 20 fucking years.
Oh, exactly. Like you say, they're a staple around here.
Yeah, an institution.
Institution.
So, and he said, welcome to our shitty band. And I immediately sent him a text message back and I said, I look forward to making your band even shittier. So that's it, I guess. And he gave me 2 cases of the Big Rig Brewery Riptides beer.
Oh, that's right. That's tasty as fuck.
At first, I thought it was a consolation gift, like, thanks for coming out, here's some beer.
There you go.
But then I got the text message, so, all right, boys, I look forward to the future. I think there's a lot of good shit going, that's going to go down.
There you go.
Yeah. And Paulie is gracious enough, being the one of the founding members of GOAT, to lend me out once again to another project.
Oh, of course. We can't get rid of you. I'm going to push you on somebody else for a while.
All right, on that note, why don't we play a song from the Riptides? This is a song called Eyes Wide Shut. It is off their brand new record, Canadian Graffiti, and it's rad, and it's fun, and it was fun to play. So, this is the Riptides. This is the 25th anniversary. This is the 25th episode of Ego and Vice. This is the Riptides. This is a song called Eyes Wide Shut. So that was the Riptides. Cool, man.
Love it.
I was telling them last night, Doug, the guitar player from the band, he lives in Kempville. And I said, you got nothing. I got, like, that's nothing. I said, the guys in Goat, one of them comes from Cornwall, and one of them comes from Moose Creek.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite the haul, but it's a peaceful drive when it's not a death trap on that 138. Oh, man.
I also told him that you, Pauly J. Fox, were also in a band called Un, Deux, Trois, Go Ninja.
That's right.
And that other band practice was like pretty much in Montreal.
Oh, jeez. Not even on Montreal. It was off the island, northeast of Montreal. So it was on the far side. And man, you'd have to go through Laval, or I'd have to take the ferry over. And it ended up being probably a couple hours each way. It's ridiculous.
You need to start a second band in Cornwall.
In Cornwall, yeah. You'd think that would be smart of me, but it is Cornwall.
When you used to live on Catherine Street, that was like a quick jaunt to band practice. Do you miss those days?
It was oh man. I remember getting in the car. It would take me, 15 minutes to get there. I just cut through and, yeah, end up right there. Man, I do miss those days. That's when we used to practice twice a week. I remember when I moved back to Cornwall, that's when we ended up going down to the once a week practice. Remember two times a week? Remember when we had Ambition?
Did we do two times a week before?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
For the first few years, it was.
That was a formula that was created, or that was set in my brain from when I used to jam in the band Arm. When I used to play in the band Arm Estate, because we used to jam two nights a week. We used to do Mondays and Wednesdays, and the thought of jamming nowadays 2 days a week is just like exhausting. As far as the same band, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I could do it. I don't know if that was my sole thing.
I think it worked for us. I think it really did because we, you know, at first you're learning the other people in the band. Well, I mean, maybe not so much you and Mike, but, you know, you kind of have to learn that dynamic and you get to a point where going down to one practice a week isn't so bad, you know, especially with us. I mean, we could probably do a show and throw together a set and maybe do one practice and be okay. But you don't want to just
This much is proven.
Exactly. You know, that's why, you know, you keep going with one a week. I think two a week at this point is unless we're writing new material constantly, I think it's probably, you know, pretty excessive. I think we found a good pace that works for us. And I think that's what you need to do, right? Is whatever pace works for you.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's just like over the last maybe we released X in... that's our latest EP, probably last June or July. And we've been going pretty strong as far as shows go.
Yeah.
Like, we've been, like, every time we plan on sitting down and, like, okay, let's bang out some new stuff, because we always want to write new stuff. Yeah. With the way the world is today and, like, social media and just the internet, you can get new shit out there all the time, and people's attention spans are short, I find. So it's just like, here's some new songs, and then, yeah, we can play the same old shit over and over and over again, but we always want to write new stuff. I think this has been the longest time that we've gone without actually banging out playing new music. What do you think?
Yeah, that's been... It's a trade-off, right? Because you got to take the time to work on that stuff, to get it up to snuff for presentation purposes, being able to play it. But then, you know, you take the time and do that, and it cuts into shows. You don't want to be unprepared for a show, so you get a bunch of shows, and then somebody likes you at that show, says, hey, you know, we've got another show coming up, you want to play this one with us? Yeah, okay, you know. No. Don't want to turn that down either. And then the more you do that, the more you spend time just preparing for shows instead of working on new stuff. And I think that's what's been going on, is we've been just doing more shows and taking less and less time to work through the new stuff.
It's funny, the longer you're in a band. I remember when we first started, it was hard to find shows. We'd have to fight and claw and scratch for shows. Yeah. So we had time to do was like write music and build somewhat of a catalog. But we've been together 7 years, and it's now we're getting to the point where we've made some great connections. We've made friends with people and stuff like that, where it's just like, we'll step back and say, okay, we just played that show at wherever. We're going to take a couple of months off. We're going to write new stuff. And then something drops in our lap where it's just like, oh, we have to play this show.
Yeah, I thought by now people would be sick of us, but...
Brett Gurwitz, from the owner of Epitaph Records and the guitar player, well, maybe not the guitar player, but the songwriter for Bad Religion, but the owner of Epitaph Records, one of the biggest independent punk labels in the world, once was asked, what is your key to success for any like independent and or punk rock, whatever band?
Yeah.
And he didn't say, you know, go tour, go this, go blah, 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 do whatever. He just said, just don't break up. Yeah. Don't break up.
Yeah.
Because eventually the time you've spent, the time you invest will pay off to the point where people will want to, you know, you'll build some sort of a something after a amount of time. And I thought that was great advice.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, how many great bands have we played with that, you know, that'll come through town and that have been together forever, and that's their story, is that, you know what? Yeah, we've been playing a set that's pretty similar to this for the past like 8-9 years sometimes, you know, and you get guys that have been just together for so long that they just know each other that well, and they have that chemistry, and you develop that, right? It's something that a new band, you come along and it's like, oh, okay, you know, some of them are good, you know, you always get new bands that are good, but you never see a band that's made it big that is new. That just doesn't happen. They've all been together for forever because that's what it takes.
Or it's like the whole, and I hate to use this term, it's like if you're going like as far as like, I'm not in music to make like, I'd love to make money off of it. I'd love to sustain myself.
But the
whole idea of being like this big blowout like rock star is so silly now. And like, when was the last time you actually wrapped your head around the fact like, I'm doing this because I want to make it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. That's the wrong reason.
It's so stupid. It's like, at our age, it's just like, just keep playing music because we can do it, and it's fucking, you know, it's a privilege, really.
No, that's why I do it. I do it because I enjoy doing it. I could play to a bar with, you know, 3-4 people and be just as happy playing for those 3-4 people.
Wait, that's a goat show.
I know,
I've been
right?
to those.
That's why we're still together. That's why I've been here for 7 years.
Yeah, man. And one thing I'm really proud of us for, too, is that since the very beginning, it's been the same three guys. Sarah Gott was in the band for a while, and God love her. She's awesome, but then she left the band. But from the very beginning, we've been together from the get-go. And it'd be cool to, if one day down the road, provided everyone, you know, makes it, if Goat ever decides to be like, okay, that's it, it'd be awesome to start with the same three guys and end with the same three guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, no question.
But we're not looking that far ahead.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Exactly. Planning ahead is for chumps.
But that's a dream. Yeah, that's the dream for me. All right, you want to play another song?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's play a song. As you know, Ego and Vice has always been about local music, the local scene, local musicians, local artists, or just people in town that are, you know, out there doing their thing. I'm going to play a song from a band called The Creeps, a local band called The Creeps. This is a song called Holding Steady off their record Eulogies. It's the 25th episode of Ego and Vice. How cool is that? This is The Creeps. This is a song called Holding Steady. So, Polly.
Yes, sir.
You're never short of opinions.
No.
No?
No, I'm not.
So, what do you think of this whole, like, Trump and Kim Jong-un meeting?
Oh, that thing. Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, anything that can lead to North Korea, you know, not being assholes anymore is a good thing, in my opinion, you know? I don't know. There's a lot of... Every time I hear anything about it, it's about, this is something that the North Koreans have done for forever, and saying that, we want to...
establish themselves on the same level. And
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of back and forth about it, but, I mean, you know, as much as I'm usually opinionated about something, you just happen to pick something that my opinion on it is, well, you know, let's see what happens. It's a bit of a strange situation, because in even just acknowledging, okay, let's go talk to these guys, are you legitimizing that regime by even being open to talking? And that's kind of what some people are saying, is that Trump, just by saying, yeah, okay, let's have talks, is saying, well, okay, then we're considering you legitimate. At the same time, you know, other people are saying, well, look, you know, if it means they're going to eventually maybe agree to denuclearize, then why wouldn't you? But again, there's no guarantee of any of that, too. So it's a complicated situation.
Ego and Vice is not a topical show. It's not a political show. But whenever me and Polly get together, we do have some debates when it comes to things like this.
Oh, yeah.
And this was kind of a big thing. The way I see it is that I think there's a lot of when it comes to Kim Jong-un. Is it Un or? Yeah, it's Kim Jong-un. Yes? Okay. Because I read that stuff too where he's like they've had for the last 20 years every once in a while they'll try and I guess compare themselves or put themselves on the same plateau as like China or Russia or America. And it's so funny with the back and forth conversation, if you will, the social media with like Donald Trump and the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, how all of a sudden there's like this break in it all and now they want to meet up. And I keep thinking of the show, what was that, or the movie, the meeting, was it? No. With
The interview.
The interview.
Yeah,
Kim Jong-un becomes like he's like, I just love basketball,
they hate
bro.
Because they anus.
Yeah, that's right. I just love basketball, bro. Maybe him and Donald Trump will like get together and he'll just be like, yo, you guys want to split a bucket? Bucket
yeah,
of KFC?
Wouldn't that be something? Holy shit.
I don't know.
Trump will bring him some McDonald's.
But Trump he's totally like on board for it. He's just like, yeah, because I guess that's Trump, you know. He's like, I can totally wheel and deal this guy. Even though Donald Trump claims to be like the best like deal maker in the world, but is on paper or in public proven to be not. But he still thinks he is, so I don't know what's going to come of that.
No, that's the kind of thing. You just got to wait and see what happens, right? Because I think that's the thing about it is that everybody's on the same page where, you know, here you got a guy that's launching test missiles and has the capability of launching nuclear missiles a considerable distance at this point. So that's kind of the thing that changes everything, right? Because everybody says, well, you know, these guys have been talking a big game for forever and they've been trying to legitimize themselves for forever. And some people say, well, yeah, Trump talking to them might legitimize it. But at the same time, this is the first time that they're saying, hey, let's talk. And oh, by the way, we have nuclear missiles, you know, so it kind of changes the landscape a little bit, which, you know, I think for the most part, everybody's on the same page about, you know, hey, let's see if we can talk this guy down from that, if that's even an option. But, you know, traditionally what's been happening as far as I'm aware anyway, traditionally what's been happening is they've said, okay, let's talk. And the people on the US side, be it Obama or any of the other former presidents, whenever this has happened before, has said, okay, well, the condition to us talking is denuclearize.
Well, there was Jimmy Carter and there was Bill Clinton. That's the only people that have actually made some sort of not impact, but
well, that have had some sort of interaction on a significant level.
So what do you think this is all about? Like from your opinion, like, cause you follow politics and you have your views on it and stuff like that. Like, is this just like another propaganda thing? Is this just like a media thing? Like, what's happening here?
Well, I mean, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I look at Donald Trump and I say, if this guy has an opportunity to make himself look good, whatever the situation is, yeah, he probably would. He seems to me like the kind of guy that would be first in line to say, you know what, look at this situation where, you know, where some kind of peace has been achieved. He would want to be be spearheading that.
At the forefront?
Exactly, because he would want to say, look, this is, look at what I did, right? Because
right, so it's more of an ego thing to say, like, so he can come back to the States and be like, I'm the only person who's ever gotten through.
Exactly. Okay. And I mean, that's...
But what will that do, though? Like, will that help the situation, or is that just more...
Well, I mean, whether or not it helps the situation kind of has to do with the other guy that's full of ego on the other side of the table doing the talking, because I think that's the situation, right? If he comes back and says, look what I did, and then a week later the guy launches a nuke at at somebody or another test missile or something, then that just completely undoes everything that was done, right? So it's kind of one of those situations where you have two egos, one on either side of the table, and, you know, what happens is...
However, yeah, I guess so. But however, like, if Trump meets with the guy and that kind of, they talk, and then he goes, and because I guess the big thing was that Trump said on Twitter the other day was that Kim Jong-un has not launched a missile test in the last X amount of time. I believe he's going to honor that and whatever. And then Trump goes there and they have their media thing. And then 3 days later, he launches another missile.
Yeah.
Did he do exactly what, well, I'm saying it's like going to be?
Yeah, you know, exactly, what I mean? Like, right? That's the thing, right?
What is Trump's response going to be to that? It'd be like, because he's going to feel like he was played the fool, right?
Well, exactly, right? But I'm sure at that point, I'm sure it's going to be, well, you know, when I said it at the time, it was accurate. Okay, but I don't know. It's definitely one of those very, very, very touchy situations, and you never know what's going to happen, but.
Oh, here's the question too. I wanted to ask you is, like, yeah. Have you heard where it's going to be? It's going to be in Russia on Christmas, like Rocky IV.
Seriously?
I don't fucking know. I'm asking you.
Oh yeah, no, okay. I was gonna say. Oh, holy
don't you remember
shit,
Rocky IV?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, okay. I do. Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember Rocky IV. Holy shit. But I didn't know that there was a. I didn't know that there was the way that you said it made me think that there was a location and a time already specified.
No, that's what I'm asking. Yeah, last you haven't heard anything about that, no.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Like, there's no way that motherfucker's coming to America. No.
I would, and frankly, I don't think there's any way that Kim Jong-un is going to be un. Okay, whatever. I don't think there's any way that he's going to ever agree to want to do it in South Korea, because, you know, that whole situation, right? So I would imagine that they're going to try and pick some neutral location, but even then,
Florida?
Yeah.
Florida. Oh, wait, no, that's not even neutral. Doesn't Donald Trump have a golf club, a golf thing? It's like
his,
he's
got a golf thing.
It's like
everywhere.
His Florida Camp David. He goes and golfs.
Yeah, yeah.
Does
yeah.
Kim Jong-un golf?
Oh yeah, he gets hole in ones every
oh, that's
every time.
Right.
That? Yeah,
and
yeah,
he
yeah.
doesn't and he doesn't poop.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah, he doesn't poop. Always hole in ones. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other stuff that they teach over there, right?
Jesus yeah. Christ. On that note, Jeebus. Just watch out for us all.
Please.
So this could be like a good thing or not. Like,
yeah, what? Well, everybody, I think everybody wants it to be a good thing. I think there's only a few outliers that, you know, that don't want it to be. And I mean, and even then, they it's not that they don't want it to be a good thing, but, you know, when you're talking about a hockey team, you got fans of a hockey team, and no matter how good the fans generally are, there's a few people that are just assholes, and they're the biggest dickbag fans you ever met, and those guys kind of shed this light. They kind of paint some of their own people with that same brush, because they just look at the other team's fans and say, oh, all those guys are assholes. Like, I mean, look at me, I'm a Bruins fan, right? Bruins fans, Canadiens fans don't like each other, but you know what, I don't think all Canadiens fans are assholes, you know. I don't paint them all with that same brush. There are a few that are assholes, probably a bigger proportion than anyway. I'm getting off topic, because the point is that you get those outliers that just clash, and they try and make everybody on the other side look bad. They try and say everybody who votes this way or everybody who thinks this way is a dick, and the other side's doing the same thing. The extremes on the other side are doing the same thing. And I think a lot of people in the middle say, you know what, if something good comes out of this, then great. But when you get into the extremes of it, that's where you start getting these people that have these weird fucking mentalities, where you get the ones on the extreme Trump side that say, oh, no, we should just nuke those fuckers, fuck you. And then you get the ones on the other side that say, no, you know what, Trump's a big asshole, and if Kim Jong-un decides to go to war with Trump, it's probably a good thing, because Trump's a fucking loser and stuff. You get all these people that are on the extremes on both sides that I just wish, I kind of wish you could just cut those people out of the picture, not, you know, not in a like, you know, not in an actual murderous kind of way, but man, I wish those people weren't so loud. I wish those people weren't so loud, and then people in the middle could just kind of get together and talk about it. And I mean, that's kind of the way I look at our conversations about this, is because we both know each other, and we both know we're reasonable people, and we might disagree on it, but I think the both of us would agree that, you know what, if this guy doesn't nuke people, probably a good outcome.
If who doesn't nuke what? What?
Exactly. Nobody wants anybody.
No, fucking, we'll never recover from it, exactly. Regardless of how it goes down.
Like, nobody wants that.
Like, just because, like, there's a certain superpower that is stronger than the other superpower and will, like, wipe the... Or what did what's-his-name say back in the day of the
bigger
Clinton?
Button. I got a bigger button.
Yeah, there was that one, too. Okay, but there was, like, one. I think it was the Bush where, was it Rumsfeld or Colin Powell said, we'll nuke them into the Stone Age. How does that fucking help anybody? You know what I mean? We're all going to be affected by that motherfucking thing.
Nobody wants that solution. That's not... That's suboptimal.
Yeah. So anyway.
Suboptimal. Yeah. No, it's definitely super complicated, and you know, nobody wants that, but man, you know, you always hope it comes to some kind of peaceful resolution, but
well, let's hope, or like some sort of understanding, and at least hold off from dropping the bombs until I get through my lifespan. And once I'm dead and buried, hey man.
Let her
fly.
Give her. Yeah. On that note, speaking of big bangs. Yeah, you remember the
huge. It's huge.
Huge. Yeah.
I love you, PayPal.
Remember the Dreaded Rebels?
I do. Yeah, fucking awesome band.
Yeah, this next song is Finger Bang the Metro Lady. Speaking of banging.
Is that what we're doing now?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. This is a local band called The Dreaded Rebels. Goat has played with them in the past.
Oh, yeah.
This is called Finger Bang the Metro Lady. This is the 25th episode of Ego and Vice. Dreaded Rebels. Finger Bang the Metro Lady. That was the Dreaded Rebels. What the fuck happened there, Polly?
You let me pick a song, and I picked the one that sounded the most interesting. Actually, I love that song. It's really good. I think they played that the last time that we did a show with them.
I believe they did. I enjoyed that song. As I was trying to sell our merch, I was trying to like pimp off our merch. But being episode 25, which is always like a crazy thing at Ego and Vice. Because it happens all the time, maybe once every 25 episodes. We have a new guest in the Southhood studio tonight who's very familiar with Southhood studio. Steph Goodwin just got in. Irish Goodwin.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, look at that. How you doing?
Truthfully, I just got in from rehearsal, and It was a little stressful, so I'd like that I get to come here, have a beer, sit with friends, talk some shit.
Not only are you having a beer, but you're having a Big Rig Riptides beer, which is my newest band.
It certainly is. Does that mean you're going to switch exclusively to these?
No.
Are you going to give up the Coors?
No, I'm still going to drink Coors Light.
Oh, okay. When is that sponsorship coming in, by the way?
It's not.
It's bullshit.
Fuck sakes.
You're putting all their kids through college. Yeah.
So Steph is a... I do a podcast with Steph on the other side of Southhead Studio. It's like... You know how Marvel Studios has like Marvel Studios Dark? I think that's what it's called. Steph, you can correct that.
Why can I correct that?
I don't know. Maybe Polly can.
What's a studio?
Okay. Right. So I have the Ohio and Irish show, and I also have Ego and Vice. And this is the first time worlds have collided where Steph has actually been, Irish Goodwin has actually been on Ego and Vice. How do you feel about that?
It feels pretty good. I'm sitting on a slightly different spot on the couch, wearing different headphones. So, I'm supremely uncomfortable actually.
Cool. And you were, where were you tonight? You were doing what?
I was at rehearsal for Crybaby. We were doing, song rehearsals and
you're upset. You're upset right now.
I'm stressed out. I'm really anxious. I had a bit of an anxiety attack at rehearsals tonight. I do, you know, it's not a secret that I have some anxiety issues, and usually I'm pretty good at keeping them in check, but I got really stressed out at this and at rehearsal tonight, and I was really embarrassed because I wasn't getting a particular harmony in a song, and it seemed like something that should be really, really easy, but we were like 3 hours into rehearsals. This was like the fourth song that we were working on, and we all had layered harmonies for each thing and in a different way each time, so it was a lot of information to take in. And so by the end of the night, it was just this one like particular like B that I could not fucking find at
fuck bees.
Fuck no, we need bees. It was this one particular note that I just could not find in harmony. And so we kept going over it and going over it. And it felt like someone was just hitting me in the head with a hammer. And I ended up getting so anxious that I like had like that frustration cry, which to anyone who's ever experienced that, it's fucking humiliating. Cause you're like, I'm not crying cause I'm sad. I'm just crying cause I have so much emotion in me that like, I'm really upset.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like trying to like keep that in and be professional and whatever. But it was like, nope, there's too much anxiety. This has got to go somewhere. And it's coming out of my eyeballs.
And it came straight out of your tear ducts.
It came out of my tear ducts, which made me feel super professional and made me feel not at all more anxious. So now I am here having a much needed beer.
Me and Paul. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice
me
to
here.
Find you. It's nice to have you here. Me and Polly have been on stage with Goat to the point where the shit went so left that tear ducts could have been opened up, but we're tough.
Thank you. That makes me feel better.
Speak for yourself. I might have shed a few tears at some point.
Yeah.
No, I actually haven't.
Before I go to tears, I go to anger.
Yeah. That's the thing is the tears for me end up getting suppressed by the massive amounts of alcohol that I have during the... Maybe that's what you should do is just get loaded drunk before the next...
Why do you think I'm here right now?
Well, there you go.
Steph had a interview, fuck's sakes. She had an audition for... What did you have an audition for yesterday?
I had an audition for an adaptation of Dr. Faustus that would be happening. I know, right? That would be...
Nice.
Polly's jaw just dropped.
Well, hear me out, Polly. The role would be for Mephistopheles.
Nice.
So I did have that yesterday. It would be a production for Fringe. I just did it yesterday. I felt it went really well. Everybody was super nice. But I mean, I realized that, you know, you're not going to get everything that you want. So I'm taking everything. And even though I would love to have the role, I realize if I don't get it, I haven't lost anything.
Well, my advice to anybody, to Polly, Irish, is that if you're nervous about something before you do it, because we're all involved somewhat in the Ottawa scene, whether it be music, whether it be theater. And, you know, I think we're all somewhat seasoned vets that we can get through it and stuff like that. But sometimes stuff comes up where you need to, like, you know, give yourself a little help. You know what I mean? And I'm sure I've given you, I know I've given you this advice. Polly doesn't need
the same advice every time.
Polly doesn't need this advice because he's ahead of the, he's ahead of the curve.
I don't get, yeah.
But the advice is like, if you're nervous for something, two shots of straight vodka. It doesn't smell.
It smells sometimes.
They won't know. If you drink like two shots of whiskey or tequila, you're going to smell the booze. Vodka, it's like drinking water.
See, this is my problem, is that now you've revealed my secret.
Exactly. Fuck.
See, I was at work right before I had to go, and I had met, and it was all the staff were there, and so I'd mentioned that I had the, obviously they knew I had to go to this thing directly after work because I had to get out a little early, and I had been talking about, like, pretty much an hour beforehand I started getting like that, like, nervous belly where you're just like,
Did you get the poo cramps?
I did not get the poo cramps.
Whenever I get nervous, I get the poo cramps, though. Yeah, for sure. It's just like, I'm going to go to this thing, which is going to, like, I'm going to sell my soul at. Just got to go to the bathroom real quick.
I did not get the anxiety poops.
This is like Off the Clock with Nick and Nico and fucking Lee talking about farts and poop all the time.
You keep bringing it up.
Love you guys. Love you guys.
What I was getting at was I had mentioned to them my conversation with you that I had told you that I had, you know, anxiety time, and you're like, oh, just have shots. And I told everyone there, and they're just like, of course that's his advice, especially Kim.
Well, here's a good thing, though. Like, okay. When it comes to, like, we're all in, like, the performing artist kind of industry or business, whatever. Polly, you've been at this for fucking as long as anybody. Like, do you still get nervous before you go on stage?
Never. Oh, no. I have lost the capacity to feel any kind of shame long ago. And so there's nothing that I could possibly do on a stage that would embarrass me more than I've been embarrassed, you know, ever in my life before. So that's my way to deal with it, is that from having done this from a very, very, very young age, I have fucked up worse than anyone could probably ever fuck up ever. Yeah. And, you know, for that reason, there's nothing I could probably ever do that would be worse than that. So I'm,
Do you have both of you, I'm going to ask this question to both of you. Do you have any advice to the upstarts out there, the plebeians out there, the upstarts, if they get nervous before a show, what's the best course of action to take to get up there and get through it? Because once, you know, you both know, once you're up there, a couple of notes in, a couple of lines in, you're fine. What's the best way to get up there and just kind of get her done? Polly.
I think the best way to get over that, as far as I'm concerned, is to, and it's going to sound like a joke, but it's really not, stop giving a shit what anyone else thinks at all. And you go up and you do what you do. And if somebody doesn't
think
that's
goddamn great advice.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. It's one thing I like about you, because I think you feel the same way about that a lot of times, is that, you know, if you give a shit what other people think of you, it's going to affect the way that you live your whole life. And going on stage is no different from that, man. Like, if I gave a shit what anybody thought of me, I wouldn't go on a fucking stage. What the hell is that?
What about you, Steph?
I'd say that you have to cut yourself some slack, because you're already there. You already took the pains to put yourself in front of these people, to put yourself out there. And you are in such a minority of people that would even have the stones to get that far, to get that fucking far. You made it that way. You made it that far. And guess what? There are bigger fuck-ups than you out there. You are not the biggest fuck up.
Are you sure?
I am pretty fucking sure. I think at this point, you know what? You got to give yourself some fucking credit, because you had at least the self-confidence enough to put yourself in front of these people. And so you got to just fucking carry that through.
My thing is that, and I've said this to both of you before, it's like, if people are going to go up there when, like, say we play in Goat, right? And we play a Goat song and we fuck it up. Just fucking trash the, just fuck it up bad.
It happens
all the time. But the thing is that that's, it's not like we're playing like Clearance Clearwater Revival where everyone knows the song, right?
Credence Clearwater Revival?
Whatever. You know what I mean. You fucking know what I meant.
But you're fucking it's it
like,
up right now!
But we're playing a goat song. And it's like, even if we fuck it up, nobody plays a goat song better than goat.
Fucking right.
So keep your fucking mouth shut and just appreciate for whatever you guys said, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to, because this is the 25th episode of Ego and Vice, we're going to debut a song from Goat that has never been heard by anybody except for the people in this room and a director named Brett Kelly. This song is attached to a feature film, a picture, if you will.
One of them talkies.
Yeah, who stars Miss Irish Goodwin, who's on the show tonight. And before we play the show, let's talk about all the experience of what this song is. Let's go with Polly first. You remember when this song came up?
I remember the first time hearing about this song, and I think it was about the time that you had already written the beginnings of this song, and just from the title alone, I was sold. And then I heard the song, and I thought, oh, this is I have to do this. I have all of my entire 37 years on this planet has led up to this event. And there was nothing that I wanted to do in the world more than this. It's great.
All right, let's talk about where this song came from, Miss Irish Goodwin.
How am I supposed to follow that up? This absolute beautiful monstrosity came out of me somehow landing a role in a Brett Kelly film. It was my first. It's my first film role, and I found the premise so hilarious and ludicrous that, of course, the first person I tell is Ohio, and I was just like, "You got to hear this shit that I just got myself involved in." And I told him, and he's like, "That's fucking hilarious. Wouldn't it be cool if we wrote a song for it? Like, that premise is great." And I was like, "You should." So they did. I mean, you did it.
Yeah. Ohio is myself, by the way. I'm just Mike on Ego and Vice.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was confused about where I was.
The actual song is called Ouija Shark because there is a Brett Kelly production coming out soon, hopefully this summer, which is a full-fledged, super scary, super fun motion picture called Ouija Shark. And I called up Brett Kelly and I said, "Hey, I have this band. We're not very good. But can we please try and write a song for your end credit scene and just see how it goes?" And he's just like, "Yeah, fuck it. Like, I made this big long pitch on the online. I'm like, blah, 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 blah." It was like a paragraph, two paragraphs. And he was just like, "Yeah, whatever."
Yeah.
So we wrote the song Ouija Shark, me and Polly and Mike. I came up with like an idea. But the funny thing is when I came up with the idea, it was just like I had it in my brain. It was just like Ouija Shark. And then I wrote the song in like literally 10 minutes. But it was like going into the band with Goat and just like working it out. And we worked it out for, God, must have been, because we played it and then we stopped and we played it again and then we stopped, and it was like over the course of a couple months.
Yeah, it was a long process because we had a couple shows going on, and it was always, okay, let's work on this. Oh yeah, but we have the show next week, so we gotta practice the set. And there was always a lot of time that we had to take away from doing. Honestly, I would have preferred to just say fuck the set and we'll get by
Ouija
on
Shark.
Stage and yeah, let's
it
just
ain't
get
getting any better.
Yeah. No, but it was so much fun working on this. It was really great.
So what we're gonna do is, for the first time ever, anywhere really, because the only people that have heard this song is Brett Kelly, like I said, the people in this room and the drummer Mike, who's at home nursing his bad back. The debut, Ego and Vice, episode 25, Goat. This is, brace yourselves, everybody, this is the Ouija Shark.
something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. It's the Ouija shock. Now you've summoned something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. Now you've summoned something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. Now you've summoned something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. Now you've summoned something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. It's the weed. Everybody's dead.
Fuck you, fish face.
So that was Ouija Shark by Goat. God damn. This is the 25th episode of Ego and Vice. I have Polly J. Fox, an Irish Goblin, in the studio with me. And every time I have people on the Ego and Vice podcast, I ask them a rapid-fire question period. And just because we're all friends and we sit here and Polly's been on, I don't know, like 10 times and Irish, I do another podcast. I'm going to do the rapid question with you guys. I'm going to go back and forth. What do you guys think?
Do it. I'm an open book, my
friend. I figure it's one of those things that people look forward to on this podcast. So why not do it with the people that I'm closest to? So rapid question. You both agree to it?
Oh, yeah.
I have no shame. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
You must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about?
Any questions?
So that was my theme music, and it's wonderful because I worked fucking super hard on that motherfucker. This is Ego and Vice, rapid question. We're going to go back and forth here because I have two guests in the studio tonight. So we're going to start with Irish Goodwin, and then we're going to go with Polly J. Fox. So, first question.
Fire away.
Cats or dogs?
Oh, cats. Just because I can live with cats.
All right, dogs. I mean, Polly.
Dogs. Definitely dogs.
All right, next question. Wiener dogs. Next question, Irish. Biggest musical influence?
Oh, shit, I guess Matthew Good.
All right, Polly.
Our Lady Peace.
Well, that's pretty Canadian, yeah, for both of you guys.
Isn't it?
Irish, first record you ever bought with your own money? Tape, CD, record?
Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill.
Dookie.
Nice.
Dookie. You would be surprised how common that is.
No, it's almost a little bit shameful for me to say that. But Dookie.
All right. What's the last record you bought? CD, tape, 8-track?
It was Transgender Dysphoria Blues by Against Me.
Oh, nice.
Concrete and Gold.
Foo Fighters.
Foos, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Cool. Irish, what's your favorite song?
Oh, Christ. Maybe Sunshine by Samiam?
Samiam?
Samiam. I don't know if it's pronounced Samiam.
It's Samiam.
But it's one word.
Look at me. I'm looking you in the face.
I'm looking you in your goddamn
Sam
face.
Sam, I am.
It's one fucking word.
Well, at least you know the song. Jesus Christ. Polly?
Oh, it's going to be the Foos again, the Pretender.
That's a good song.
Oh, I love that song so much.
By the Fighters.
The Foo Fighters.
Okay. Anyway. Irish, what's your favorite movie?
Aliens.
The second one.
Yeah.
Okay. Polly?
That is the best movie of all time. So.
Yeah! Yeah.
Both, right, yeah, yeah. You got, you guys both. Yeah, okay, you're,
oh,
there
for sure.
Okay.
Did
for
we
sure
just become best friends?
Oh, fucking yeah, we weren't already. Jesus.
Irish, what's your favorite band? Samium.
Fuck you. CCR.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say goat, can I?
Of course you can.
Goat.
What a fucking loser.
Yeah, I know, right? Who the fuck listens to those assholes?
All right, Irish. Chuck Taylors or motorcycle boots?
Military boots. Fine, Chuck T's.
All right, cool. Polly?
Motorcycle boots.
All right. I'm going to go to Polly for this one first.
Oh, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah. Switch it up. Last book you read?
Would be the latest Game of Thrones book, actually.
What was it?
You know what? There's like five of them, and I forget the Dance with Dragons, I think, is the last one. I'm a big nerd.
Cool. Steph?
That's actually a difficult question because I'm typically reading like at least...
I have my hand up.
Okay.
Steph has about 9 books on the go at once.
That's true.
So out of the 9 books you're reading now, minimum 5 or 6, mm-hmm, what was the last one you finished?
That's the hard part, if I don't remember which one I finished last. I don't remember which one I finished last. I'm sorry. I don't remember. There's so many.
Fucking
I'm sorry.
Ruining my segment.
I'm sorry. I'm an avid reader.
You know how hard it is to put this podcast together?
And no.
People like you fuck it up? Okay. Instead of the last book you read, what book do you recommend to people right now? Boom.
I recommend Running with Scissors by Augustine Burroughs.
And what is
it
that?
It is, technically, it's a biography, but it's one of those stories where you read the biography and you're like, how the fuck are you alive to even write this story?
Okay.
Like, you had the most fucked up childhood, and you're like, how are you a functioning human being? Like I don't understand.
Like a William S. Burroughs or a...
It's,
oh God, it's totally escaping.
Let me.
Who's the dude that Johnny Depp played in?
Hunter S. Thompson,
motherfucker.
But I'm talking about like a dude who's like
slipped.
When the kid was like under the age of 12, his crazy mom gave him away to her therapist to raise, and it went more batshit from there. I cannot recommend the book enough. You're just like, what in the ass? Oh my God.
All right. So these are rapid questions, not long drawn out questions.
You asked me about books.
I did. It's my own fault. All right. Next question. Irish. One person, dead or alive, you'd love to have a beer with?
Oh my God. Okay, Polly, take it. I got to think about this.
Pass? You passed?
I'm going to come back to it.
Okay. William Shatner.
Nice. You can, the beauty of William Shatner is that you don't have to have a beer with him. I should be like, one person dead or alive you would love to tweet to. Because he is...
there you go, yeah.
I'm on Twitter quite often, and he is a Twitter fucking whore.
Isn't he?
Old Bill Shatner.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah.
Yeah, good call, though. That's nice.
I can't. I don't know. Oh, you know what? George Carlin. I'd love to sit and have a beer with George Carlin.
No,
yeah.
Well, that's good though.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Good
shoot
answer.
The shit.
Yeah. I think those were both good. William Shatner, the Shat, and the Carl. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Irish. Death row meal.
My mom's lasagna.
Okay, Polly.
Meatloaf and macaroni and cheese and pancakes.
Like in a layer, like a tiramisu?
No. Well, it wasn't until you said that, actually.
I would have a lasagna from Cannelloni Brothers with a fucking big juicy wasp in it.
And a they keep sending it back because they got to get one without a wasp. But yeah, you keep getting them with wasps, so your death gets extended.
Here's my explanation on that one. I got a lasagna from my buddy who owns a pizzeria and makes Italian foods, and I had this wasp. I had this lasagna, and I was eating it, and I was enjoying it thoroughly.
It was a wasp with a lasagna in it.
And as I was forking through it, I saw something odd, and it turned out to be a full-blown...
It turned out to be lasagna.
A full-blown wasp. And then I got a lasagna from Mike yesterday when I picked up his amp, and he's like, you want a lasagna? And I'm like, no. He's like, I absolutely guarantee you there's no wasps in it. No bugs.
Yeah, it was actually just a yellow jacket.
All right, anyway.
It was a bee.
Same order. Irish, what's your what's your death row drink? Death row meaning the last thing you can eat or drink. Yeah.
I just want a fucking cold draft beer. A nice domestic cold draft beer.
Hoppy, light beer, IPA.
Something
brown ale.
No, I want something like you could get at like a fucking sports bar, like simple, classic, domestic, not super hoppy, just easy drinking, and I just want to sip that motherfucker.
All right, Polly.
Shit, that's gonna have to be. It's gonna have to be some Canadian Club. Just neat. That's it.
Nice.
Simple.
That was real smooth, by the way. Okay, Irish Goodwin.
All right.
What is your death row record? The last record you could listen to before they pulled the switch.
Yep. It is, oh my God, and I just put the record right out of my brain. It's my favorite record. It's my favorite Matthew Good record. Oh my God, something.
Polly, what's your.
Beautiful Midnight. Beautiful Midnight by Matt Good. That would be my last record.
Sometimes you just got to beat it out of them.
Please do.
Wasting Light. Another Foos. Another Foos one. Wasting Light.
We're getting a theme here, right? All
right. Well, you know, they're just so good.
Yeah, Polly's very foo oriented. Right? Okay. And this is the very last rapid question period, which is really exciting because I've never done this with two people before. Irish Goodman, what was the best day of your life?
I believe it was, I think, my 13th or 14th birthday. My parents sprung, which was very, very unique, sprung to take my entire family, which was six people, to Canada's Wonderland for my birthday. And we went all day. We drove all the way to York or wherever the fuck that was. It was a good like 45-minute hour drive. We went all the way to Canada's Wonderland as a family, and we were there from morning until night. We got to eat whatever the fuck we wanted. We went on rides all day, and it was my favorite place in the world, and that is the best fucking day of my life.
Awesome. Polly?
I'm a little bit conflicted on that because I've got a couple. There was... Okay. Well, there's the one that is, you know, the cliche of, you know, the first time that I saw my son. We'd been, she's been pregnant for the 9 months, and he's gonna be born today. And she went and had the C-section. But just, I will never forget the first time I saw his face. I will never forget the first time I saw my son. And that day was just incredible. It's etched into my memory. The second you said that, I had a smile on my face. The other one was actually just last year. He was up here for the summer, and it was just he comes up every summer, and we spend, you know, the whole summer together. I take all, you know, the whole summer off for vacation time, and I think the best day that I had was I woke up, didn't have to work, had a little cute little wiener dog lick in my face when I woke up next to the girlfriend. My son was sitting there, you know, had woke up about an hour before me, sitting there playing video games. And I said to him, "Hey, man, what do you want to do today?" And
what's up,
you know,
bro?
No, and we just spent the day doing whatever we felt like doing. And we were so free and just completely, completely open to absolutely doing whatever we could do. And it was just the most free, serene, free day of my life that I got to spend with the people and little piece of shit wiener dog that I love so much. It's
awesome. All right, so we're done with that bullshit. So we're going to wrap up episode 25 of Ego and Vice. We're going to play something that is not local. We're going to play something that is from New York City, actually Brooklyn, New York. This is a band called Nyloceros. This is a band that Goat played with a couple times a few months ago, and we've kept in great contact with them and fucking good on them, and they're doing really
great
well.
Guys.
They're playing the Warped Tour this year. So this is a song called Worm. This is off the self-titled Nyloceros album. It's called Motherfucking Worm. All right, here we go. Ego and Vice. So this has been episode 25 of Ego and Vice. I want to thank everybody that's been on the show for the last maybe 6 months, the last 25 episodes. It's been awesome. I just do this as a labor of love. I just want to have my friends on the show and promote their music and just, you know, show what Ottawa music can be or the Ottawa music scene, what it has to offer. If you want to get a hold of me, you can contact me at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show, if you want to hear your band on the show, or if you just even want to come in, I will make a whole show about you. And that's egoandvice@gmail.com. You can check out the website at egoandvice.com. All the podcasts there are available. They're free of charge. I do this as a labor of love. There is no money involved. I'd like to thank my guests, my best friends, really, Polly J. Fox.
That's me.
And Irish Goodwin.
That's me.
Cool. Let's celebrate this 25 episodes later. What do you think?
It's fucking right. Cheers.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.